comic operas, none is more famous or more frequently performed than The Barber of Seville. Rossini, master of comedy, Rossini, high priest of the age of bel canto, Rossini, the bon viveur whose laziness and fondness for good food were legends in his lifetime, all these light and frivolous images come to mind when the name of Rossini is mentioned. The very fattening Tornado Rossini, a fillet steak with pâté de foie gras melted over it, is named after him. But the truth about Rossini was richer and more complex even than the legends. Rossini's life had more twists and turns, more paradoxes, than even the most convoluted of his comic opera plots. For a start, try this paradox. Rossini was born in 1792 and has just celebrated his 52nd birthday. How come? Because he was born in Pesaro on the Adriatic coast on February the 29th, leap year's day, 1792. How the old rogue would have relished the paradox that as his juniors reach their 150th anniversaries and more, he is on the edge of middle age. It's as if he never really grew old, and in a sense he didn't, because his music is as fresh and tuneful, as full of delights and brilliant comic invention as the day he wrote it. Paradox number two. Though he is best remembered as a composer of comic operas, like The Italian Girl in Algiers, Cinderella, La Cenerentola in Italian, The Turk in Italy, The Barber of Seville, and more, of the 40 or more operas he wrote in his career, the vast majority were on serious subjects. Yet until only a few years ago, these serious works were completely ignored, and Rossini was seen as a highly successful comedian of the opera house. We even have the advice of Beethoven on the subject, who allegedly advised Rossini to make more barbers. Paradox number three has it that Rossini was lazy. So lazy that a story went the rounds of the morning he was sitting up in bed, surrounded by plump pillows, writing an opera. He composed a tenor aria, put it on the bed beside him, and unfortunately it slipped off and fell to the floor. Rossini was too lazy to get out of bed, so he just wrote another tenor aria. True? Who knows? But the Italians have a wonderful expression, "Se non è vero, è ben trovato," which means that even if it isn't true, it might as well be. Italy, at the beginning of the 19th century, had an amazingly vibrant, exciting, and often chaotic operatic climate, rather like England in the Elizabethan age, or the early days of Hollywood. Mad, erratic directors, harassed producers, vain and overfed stars, all producing work under conditions that would kill an ox, yet producing work of astonishing quality and value. Shakespeare, Marlowe, Beaumont and Fletcher, Mack Sennett, Charlie Chaplin and D.W. Griffiths, Rossini, Donizetti and Bellini would all sympathise with the deadline-driven writer of TV sitcoms. It would certainly never have occurred to Rossini that we would be discussing his opera 200 years after its first performance. So it was that Donizetti, who wrote over 70 operas in a tragically short life, could complete one of his great tragedies in 3 weeks, and Rossini could complete a score of the length and complexity of The Barber of Seville in an amazing 14 days. But the greatest paradox of Rossini was his own life. Amazingly gifted and a prodigy almost on the scale of Mozart, he had his first opera produced in Venice when he was 18. He was director of the immensely prestigious San Carlo Opera in Naples, still Italy's loveliest opera house, at the age of 22. In the next 7 years, he would produce 10 grand tragic operas for that theatre. He was only 24 when his Barber of Seville received its notoriously disastrous premiere in Rome in 1816. His 40th and final opera was William Tell, best remembered now for its famous Lone Ranger overture. This was written in French as Guillaume Tell for the Paris Opera when the composer was just short of 40. He would go on to live for another nearly 40 years and write no more operas. Why ever not? Well, musicologists have debated that one for 150 years. One cynical explanation was that Rossini had made his name and his fortune as Italy's most successful composer, and like many another successful businessman, was willing and able to retire at 40 and live a life of ease. Another, maybe more credible reason, was that the world was changing more dramatically in the post-Napoleonic era.